All right, take your Bibles, 2 Thessalonians, ready for the... All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. If you wouldn't mind, as you find that, to stand. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Speaking of YouthCon, my brain is still catching up from that week. Stand up till 1 in the morning every night. But God is good. I'm excited about the message tonight. Oh, I'm in 1 Thessalonians. See, my goodness. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I was like, that didn't look right. And starting in verse number 3, Paul says this: "But the Lord is faithful." Now, he's kind of coming in the middle of a thought, sort of. I'll explain that in the course of preaching, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. And we'll end our reading there. Our message tonight is this: God is faithful to help those who are full of faith. God is faithful to help those who are full of faith. Let's pray and we'll get into it. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for who you are, God, and your faithfulness. And you know who we are. You know how unfaithful we can be to you and how our hearts are prone to wander and leave you and do our own things. But we're thankful, God, that you're always there. You're always there to help us. You're always there to strengthen us. You're always there to direct us, guide us, and use us for your glory. We're thankful. We're humbled by it. And I pray that you help as we get into this message. Help me to explain it, declare it in a way that we can understand and engage our minds that way. But I pray that you would, Lord, do your work of speaking to the hearts. And Lord, as your word does, it cuts into the marrow and divides even between the bone and the marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. We pray that you would work that way. Confident you will, and we thank you in advance for it. We love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. And so, as we know, 2 Thessalonians is written to that church of Thessalonica. And the main context of the book, I wasn't here last week, so just to kind of get back into that, the main context of the book is this, that the church was planted by Paul. It's a very young church, and Paul left, and he lot earlier than he was really wanting to leave, but through a series of circumstances and really through intense persecution, Paul had to leave. And so he left, and he continued to plant churches, but this church was there, and Paul left, but the persecution didn't stop, did it? Because they weren't really mad at Paul, they were mad at God. And so there was a church there that continued to live for God. And so Paul went back, he sent Timothy to check on them months later, maybe even weeks later, to see how they were doing. And Timothy brought report back that they actually were doing very well. They were continuing to serve the Lord. They were being faithful. They were spreading the gospel. They were being true to the truth of the Word of God. They were not compromising. And they were faithful to do what God had commanded them through Paul's ministry. And that was a blessing to Paul. And so he wrote these letters back. In our letter, it's actually the second letter. Paul wrote that first one just to thank the Lord for what he had done and how the church was doing. But he wrote a second letter because weeks later, after that first letter was written, there was some false doctrine that came up. And we're not tonight going to deal a lot with that part of it. We dealt with that in chapter 2. But there were people in Thessalonica who were trying to convince that church that they were in the tribulation. They were in the day of the Lord. And we dealt with the end times, didn't we? And we talked about the Antichrist and all of that, and we cleared all that up. And Paul cleared all that up. And by the way, I said this on Sunday morning, but I am confident that when we're done with this book, we'll get into Revelation and kind of really deal with what Paul would have taught them. Even just as an early young church, he taught them these things. And I feel that we need to learn these things. I'm excited about that. But Paul wrote back, and basically the way he dealt with it is he told them the doctrines, the truth of the Word of God, again. And that's what he did there in chapter 2, is he reminded them about the doctrine of the end times. He reminded them about the fact that the rapture had not taken place. He reminded them of the fact that the Antichrist wasn't here. And really what he did to settle their hearts was to give them truth, right? What he did to establish them, they were anxious, they were nervous, they were afraid. And the way that Paul helped them was by teaching them truth. And by the way, that's how we'll be helped, ultimately. Now, there's a place for compassion. There's a place for being kind that way and being tender that way. But if we don't also give truth, we won't really help. Grace and peace comes through the knowledge of God and through the truths of the Word of God. And so Paul gave them that doctrinal truth in chapter 2. Now in chapter 3, he's switching gears, and he's going to start making these things pretty practical. And really, he gets down to that in verse number 6. But in chapter 3, we saw last time that he asked for them to pray for him. And so he's been praying for that church, because that church has been suffering persecution. They've been going through a lot. They've been suffering ridicule and hatred and even potentially jail time and potentially even death. And so Paul's been praying for them and trying to help them and trying to give them truth. Well, now in chapter 3, we read that now Paul is asking them to pray for him, you see. And he said, you need to also pray for us. That's what it says in verse 1 of chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Pray, really, two things, if you remember. He asked them to pray that the Word of God would go forth, that God would give him utterance as he preaches the Word, that God would use it, that the Word of the Lord would have free course, he said. And so pray for his ministry as he's delivering the Word of God. And then he said in verse 2, also pray for our protection. Because, as you know, Church of Thessalonica, while I was there, the Word of God was accepted by some, you guys, the church, but also it was rejected by many. And I faced persecution there, Paul said, but I also faced persecution in the next town, and now the town after that, Corinth, he's still struggling with unreasonable and wicked men, those who were against the Word of God. And Paul was asking that the church would pray for him so that God would get involved with that. And God would help him as he preaches the word, and God would protect him. Okay. Now, here's where we kind of bridge into our passage. The last phrase of verse 2 says this. For all men have not faith. And so what he's saying there is not everybody believes the Bible. Right? Sadly, that's the case. I wish it wasn't the case. I wish we could just preach the Bible and everyone would believe it by faith. But here's the reality. Not everybody is going to believe the Bible. Not everybody is going to appreciate the truth of the Word of God. In the end, eventually, here's where you land. When you preach the Word of God, there's going to be some who believe and are thankful, and they'll grow. But then there's going to be some who are angry and will attack, right? And thus the persecution that they're facing, right? And the church of Thessalonica was continuing to preach the word and continuing to give the gospel. And why? Well, because the people needed it, right? The people in Thessalonica, those citizens of Thessalonica, needed to hear the gospel. If they had any chance of being saved from their sin, they needed to hear the gospel. The problem was, as they preached the gospel, those who didn't believe it were persecuting them. Why? Because they preached the gospel. And so now they're in this conundrum. Do I keep preaching and become persecuted, or do we just hunker down together and not say anything? Well, they didn't do that, did they? They kept preaching the gospel, even though it made the town mad in ways, and even though it brought more persecution, they needed to hear the truth, and so the church kept giving the truth. And this is why they were persecuted. And so now Paul's changing his gears from his situation back to theirs, and instead of being concerned about them, instead of being worried about them and concerned how they would respond, remember, that's how he thought about it first. When he left that quick, remember that? I told you. He was there fast and he left pretty quick. At first, he was kind of concerned. He didn't know how they would do. He didn't know if they would stick it out. He didn't know if they would keep following the Lord. So he sent Timothy and found out that they were. Well, here's what he found out when that happened. He found out that this church truly had faith. Truly had faith. Because, listen, in the hard times, in the difficult times, that's when you find out if you truly have faith. One, Paul said, not all men have faith. And then he says, but you do, right? And so that church had faith. And he said, the other one is, in verse 1, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. And so Paul knew two things about this church. Now that he's left, and now that he's watched them do it, he knows two things about this church. They have faith in the Lord, they trust Him, and they value the Word of God. And if a Christian trusts the Lord, has faith, and values the Word of God, then here's what we can be. We don't have to be concerned about them. We don't have to be worried about them. We can be confident in, not them, in God. Look at verse 3. It says, but the Lord is faithful, right? Who shall establish you? Look in verse 4. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you will do it. In verse 5, and the Lord direct hearts. So Paul and his team, Paul and Timothy and Silas and all them who were with them, they were confident that God would help them through. They knew this church was struggling, but now they know this. This church, yeah, might be struggling, but they have faith in God. And yeah, that church might be struggling, but they value the Word of God. And if a Christian trusts God and values His Word, it doesn't matter how hard life gets, God will help them through it. You see? That's what Paul is doing here in our passage. You know, sometimes when people that we love, church people that we love, are going through a hard time, sometimes we get nervous for them, don't we? Oh, nervous about what? Nervous, really, ultimately, that they're going to forsake God. We feel that way sometimes, don't we, about Christians, when they're going through a hard time. But listen, but if they are truly placing their faith in God, and if they're valuing the Word of God, then we don't have to worry. Because we can be confident not in their ability, but in God's ability to help them, even when life is difficult. How are we doing? And so when someone's going through a hard time, we do need to help them through their hard time all we can. But what we really need to do is help them to trust the Lord and value His Word. Because if they have faith in God, and if they value His Word, then God will help them. And that's what they need. But God's not going to force His help on anybody. And God's not going to force His help on somebody who doesn't trust Him and doesn't want to do things His way. God's not going to force His help on somebody who doesn't want to follow the Word of God. But if someone trusts God and His Word, and by faith follow Him even through the hard times, then God will help them in specific ways. In specific ways. And even though the circumstances might have been pulling this church away from God, even though the society might be pulling them away from God, even though the devil himself, Paul said, was using all of these things to pull them away from God, Paul was confident that God was more powerful than all of those things, you see. Paul was confident that he was more powerful than those influences. And it is true that not all have faith. It is true that not all live their lives trusting God. And it is true that these people, the ones that don't trust God, who don't have faith, will be heavily influenced by these things. And we have reason to be concerned. And we have reason to not worry in a sense, but be concerned for those Christians who really aren't trusting God. We have reason to be concerned for them because they're not able to tap into the source that God can help them with. Remember, Paul was concerned about them at first, wasn't he? We have reason to be concerned about them, but if we have a brother or sister in Christ who has faith in the Lord and values His Word, then we can have confidence in what? In God, that He'll help them through it, you see. Yeah, Paul knew that. Paul knew that about the Thessalonian Christians. And so Paul listed five ways in our passage tonight. We'll just go through them quickly tonight. Paul, five ways that he was confident that God would help them during this hard time. In the midst of persecution, in the midst of their trial, five ways that God would help them. The first two are found in verse 3, where it says this, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." And so, when life became difficult for them, Paul was confident that God would protect them in two ways. God would protect them from the evil that's within them and the evil that's outside of them. In two ways. Yeah. As long as they trusted God, as long as they valued His Word, God would protect them from their own hearts. That's what it means to establish them. Paul said, God is faithful, who shall establish you. That means He'll give them inner strength. He would give them inner stability. Even though what they're facing was chaotic and crazy, if they attached their security in who God was, then they could have stability in that. If they attached their security in their surroundings, then they would be anything but established. They would be insecure. They would be always changing because their circumstances are always changing. And if we put our stability, if we put our security, and we rest it on the foundation of what's happening in our life, then our security and our stability will be all over the place. Because there are always going to be times that are good, there are always going to be times that are bad. But that is not where we ought to find our source of stability and security, you see. But if they place their security in God, who He is, and faith in Him, if they place their security in the truths of the Word of God, then they would always be established. And they didn't do it. It's not like they talked themselves into this. No, actually, God will establish your heart. God will establish your heart. Because these things never change. God is good always. And God's Word never changes. And if we base our stability in these things, then we will find stability in life. Do you remember when Jesus was walking on the water in the midst of the storm? And just thinking about the picture of that. That the storm is... Anyone been in a boat when the waves are crazy? And the storm is just going crazy. And you see Jesus just... What's He doing? He's just walking. And everything is crazy and chaotic, and we don't know what we're going to do. And the disciples are in the boat, and they're scared, and they don't know what they're going to do. But Jesus, He's just walking. And they see Jesus, and at first they're scared because they're not thinking right. They think it's a ghost, which don't exist. Or they thought it was a demon or something like that. And they found out it was Jesus. And Peter said, "Hey, if that's you, have me walk out there." Now, that was not a bad thing. People try to give him... You know, they try to dog him for that. No, I was good. And so Jesus says, "Come." And whenever Peter was looking at Christ, he was able to walk. In the chaos of the storm, he was able to walk. And when he looked around, he sank. Right? We know that. I don't know if you realize this part of it. He gets to Jesus, he falls. Jesus catches him, right? Picks him back up, and they walk back. They walk together. The storm's not over. It's not like he fell, he picked up Peter, and everything was fine. No, they walked back to the boat. And the Bible said when they got to the boat, then the storm stopped. But he walked with Jesus through the storm, and they got to the boat. But even though everything outside was crazy, Jesus was walking. Because he's always walking. And if Peter is with Christ, he's able to walk, even though it's crazy. Are you following me? And so if you place your faith in Christ, he'll keep you established, stable, even in the midst of instability. Yeah. And then he said this. He said, "Who will establish you and then keep you from evil?" Now, keep you means to guard you, to protect you. And so if they trusted God and if they valued his word, the second thing God would do is protect them from outward evil. He would protect them from their hearts first, the inward man, and now he's going to protect them from the outward. And evil literally just means destruction. That's what it means. Evil means destruction. It doesn't mean wickedness necessarily. God would do evil. And if you look in the Old Testament, you might be like, what in the world? How would God bring evil upon a place? Well, God can't do wickedness or bring wickedness, but God can bring destruction and did often. Evil means destruction. Now, wickedness brings destruction, doesn't it? But anyway, God was able to protect them from destruction. You see that? That's what it says. Keep you from evil. Guard them from destruction. Well, what kind of destruction? Well, the persecution that they're going through. And there were people in that town that wanted to destroy them. And God would not allow them to be destroyed. Now, God might allow them to be hurt. Paul wouldn't have been honest if he promised that God would never allow them to be hurt by others. He was beaten while he was there. They saw it. But even if they were temporarily hurt, they wouldn't be allowed to be destroyed because God, listen, God could even use those temporary times of pain for their good and for his glory. And so God would protect them from being destroyed. They might be knocked down, but they would not be out. God would protect them from that. You see that? So he would protect them from the inward man. He would protect them from the outward man. The third way that God would help them is found in verse 4. He says, "And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you." And so the Lord would help them if they had faith in God and if they valued his word. That's the crux of this whole thing. Hope you're catching that. Faith in God, valuing his word, then God would do this. He would help them obey. God would help them obey. Even our following God is not our doing. Paul understood that, didn't he? Paul knew that anything that was good in him, God did it. And here's all Paul did. All he did was have faith in God. All he did was value God's word. And then God would work through him, and God would help him keep his own commandments. But listen, when people don't place their faith in God, when people don't value his word, then the circumstances of life can, remember the context, and the persecution and the hard times, if we're not trusting God, if we don't value God's word above all things, then when we face hard times, we can stop obeying God. And yeah, when life is good and things are what we want and we're happy, then we feel God deserves for us to serve him and we'll obey. But that's not faith, is it? Faith in God is not squenched whenever life gets hard. If we have true faith in God, and if we truly value his word over everything, even over our circumstances, even over our comforts, then whenever life gets hard, we will keep obeying him. You see? And the Thessalonians were having a very difficult time. And by the way, their difficult time came because they were obeying God. But even though it was hard, they kept obeying God. And Paul understood it wasn't them who mustered up the strength to do that. No, God was doing that through them. Why? Because they had faith in God and they valued his word. Are you seeing it? We don't have to work all this up and muster this up. We don't have to try to better ourselves. Here's all we need to do. Trust God and value his word. And if we trust God and if we value his word, then he will work through us. He'll do these things. He'll protect your heart. He'll protect you from the influences around you. He'll help you obey, you see. And again, we sometimes worry about our church family who go through difficult times. When someone loses a loved one, or when someone goes through a health crisis, or if someone's treated bad, or if someone's offended, then sometimes we wonder, we worry about them, don't we? I wonder if they're going to stop following God now. Now that it's hard, now that things are more difficult, are they going to stop following God? But listen, we need to be careful about that, because when we worry that way, there's one of two options that are going on in our mind. Either one, we don't really think this person has faith, Or two, we don't believe that God could bring them through this. You see? But God is faithful. He will give them what they need. The question is if they're truly living by faith or not. But that's between them and God, you see. Yeah. Now, there is a reason to be concerned about someone's faith. Again, Paul was concerned about the faith of Thessalonians. But here's the thing. Trials in life actually test and prove our faith. And they help us see if our faith is genuine or not. And it's in the trials that we find that out. And so in a sense, a trial in someone's life, of course it's not fun, but in a sense, a trial in someone's life can really be a help to them to see where they truly are spiritually. If they're truly following God by faith, if they truly value God's word, or if they only follow God when life is good, you see. And so, when we're following God, and when we value His word, He'll help us to obey. Yeah. The last two are found in verse 5, where He says, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." And so, if they placed their faith in God, again, I'm going to say that over and over, if they placed their faith in God and if they valued His word, then God would, one, direct their hearts to the love of God. Now, here's a question. What does Paul mean here by the love of God? When he says, direct your hearts into the love of God. Now, is he talking here about the love God has for them? Or is he talking here about their love for God? You see that? When God directs our hearts into the love of God, is he directing us to understand the love that God has for us? Or is he directing us to love God better? It's a valid question. If you read it, it can really go either way, can't it? Yeah. It's a hard question. And in the English, that really can go truly either way. But sometimes it helps to go and look at the Greek behind it. Because remember, our Bibles were written originally in Greek and Hebrew. And so the Greek language and the English language, they work different, and sometimes it can bring clarity. Because like actually in verse 3 where it says that God would keep them from evil, you see that? God will keep you from evil. Does that mean that God would protect them from doing evil themselves? It sounds like it could mean that, right? Protect you from evil. From doing evil. Or does that mean that He would protect them from the evil around them, being affected by other people's evil actions? Well, the way that the Greek works, it's very clear in the Greek that He means He'll protect them from the evil around them. And so we need to be careful we don't misinterpret this and preach it the other way, right? We need to be very clear. So sometimes it really helps for us to have that Greek language too. It helps sometimes. By the way, our King James Bible can do the same thing for us in the Greek. Sometimes the Greek can be taken either way, but the King James translators help us narrow that down. And so we use both. Are you following? We use both. And so in verse 3, it helped us. Okay, so what about verse 5? Well, so again, is it the love that God had for them, or is it the love that they had for God? Here's the answer. Yes. It can go both ways, in both the Greek and the English. In fact, in the Greek, it's meant to go both ways. It's purposeful ambiguity, where it does both. It's pretty cool. And so God doesn't make clear one way or the other, and here's why. Because they both go together. Listen, the love that God has for us and the love that we have for God, they go together, don't they? Don't they? You cannot truly love God until you really understand how much He loves you. You see that? You can't. Remember it says, we love God because He first loved us. And so you can't truly love God until you understand how much He loves you. But the other way is true, because you can't really understand God's love for you. You can't really have faith in that and not love Him back. You see? So they go together. Just a little bit of a nerd situation for you. You're welcome. And because we love God because He first loved us. And so what Paul is saying here is that while the Thessalonians were dealing with these problems and dealing with these hard times and dealing with the persecution, if they didn't have faith in God, if they didn't value His word, then here's what is a temptation that we have, that we doubt God's love for us. You've heard this before, haven't you? Well, if God loves me, then why is this happening? Right? If God loves me, then why did this person have to go through what they're going through? If God loves me, then why? And there's a temptation here to say that they could have said, if God really loves me, then why is He allowing this persecution? And when we don't have faith in who God is, and if we don't value His word, which says, God loves you always, then we would be tempted to live that way. But these people did have faith in God. And these people did value God's word. So Paul was confident that God would direct their hearts into the love of God. Now, direct here means literally to clear out a path. And if they trusted God, and if they valued His word, then even in the hardest times, that God would clear a path for them into His love. Into understanding that no matter how hard life gets right now, I know who my God is, and I know He loves me. And because He loves me, I love Him, even though I'm going through what I'm going through. You remember Job, who said, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. That's the kind of love that God puts in us, if we have faith in Him, and if we value His word. How are we doing? Following? The last thing Paul said is that he would also direct them, in verse 5, into the patient waiting for Christ. And so the last thing Paul says God will do if they trust God and if they value His word is to direct them again to clear a path into what this time? Into patient waiting for God. Into the patient waiting for Christ. Now what is that talking about? Again, it's talking about the rapture. What Paul was talking to them about. He's been dealing with that for this letter and the letter previous. And so as they were going through these trials of life, listen, the temptation is to focus so much on what they're going through that they forgot that one day Christ is coming back. You see? And the devil would love for you to be so wrapped up in the problems of your life that you forget about the eternity that's awaiting you. But that's a temptation in us. But these people, again, they had faith, right? And they valued the Word of God, right? And so that would then enable them, God would enable them, God would clear a path to guide them, to direct them into the patient waiting for Christ. They would be able to endure the trial. Why? Because they knew that Christ would come back one day, and when He did, they would have an eternity with Christ awaiting them, and they may be suffering now, but they will eternally be comforted with Christ. You see? If you have faith in Christ, and if you value His word, then the next life matters much more than this life. And they may not be receiving temporary rewards from man, but they will enjoy eternal rewards in heaven. And so they were patiently waiting for Christ in the glorious eternity that was waiting for them. And that truth, that faith, would help them to be patiently waiting. They would endure with patience the temporary pain and the discomfort they face in this life because they were excited. They had the hope of the believer, which is an eternity with Christ to look forward to. You see? But again, that kind of patient waiting only comes through, what do you think? Faith in God and valuing His word. So what do you think we ought to do tonight? We ought to put our faith in who God is, and we ought to value His word over everything else. You see? Everything else. So these are the things that I know God will do still for those who have faith in God and who value His word. These are not things that you need to try hard about and better yourself, you know, and muster these things up in your own strength. No, your job is this, to simply trust God and place your faith in Him Your job is to value His Word, allowing it to have, what did Paul say? To have free course. That means whatever the Bible says, I'm doing it. Whatever the Bible says, I believe it. Whatever it says, I don't have to understand all of it. I do have to know that the Bible says it. But if I know the Bible says it, I'm doing it. Why? Because I have faith in God and I value His Word. And if you do those things, then I'm confident that God will work through you in these ways. Here's another question. If we've been going through this tonight and God is not, listen, if God is not working this way in your heart, are you following me? Then what do we need to do? Well, we need to try really hard, don't we? No. Here's what we need to do. We need to evaluate two things. How's your faith in God? And how much do you value the Word of God? No. If you're having a hard time being stable and having peace in your heart, stability inwardly, if you're having a hard time dealing with the circumstances around you, if you're having a hard time, what were the other ones? If you're having a hard time obeying God, you know what God says, but you can't seem to do it. No, if you're having a hard time with understanding God's love for you and you're grappling with, does God really love me? And do I really even love Him? If you're struggling that way, if you're struggling with being so obsessed with the problems of your life that you can't even be excited about the future, if you're struggling these ways, then here's what that means in your life. That means that somewhere along the way, you don't have faith in God like you ought to, and somewhere along the way, you're valuing something else over His Word. Because if you have faith in Christ, and if you value His Word, then God will do these things. You can't do those things, but God will do those things. Why? Because God is faithful. And I'm confident that if you have faith in God and if you value His Word, God will do these things. You see? The Bible calls hard times a trial for a reason. Oftentimes, the difficult things that we face in our life, the Bible calls them a trial. Do you know what a trial is? A trial is a testing, right? It's a proving time. And these times, these trials in our life, they're never fun. They wouldn't be called a trial if they were fun. But one good thing about them is that they do reveal to your heart if you're truly trusting God or if you truly value His Word. If you're going through a hard time and you're struggling in one of these areas we talked about tonight, that's good. What? Well, it's what? Why is it good? Well, because now you know in what area of your life you need to have better faith in Him. And we can talk through it. And we can work it out. And we can find where in your life are you not truly trusting God with this? Or where in your life do you not value His Word over anything else? I mean, over anything you think, over anything you feel, over anything you want. Where in your life are you valuing your way over God's? Because if that's happening, then that's where God is not able to do these things, because Paul said, not all have faith. And so it's actually a good thing if you're struggling, because now we know where we can fix it. In fact, before the trial, you didn't know you struggled this way, but you did struggle this way. And so the trial helped you see where you struggle. And that's good, because now we can fix it. Amen. So that might be happening in some hearts tonight. And if that's the case, you need to get with God. You need to get, and I'd be glad to help you with that. And let's figure it out. Let's not just push this to the side. What did we say today about beholding your face in the glass? Let's not just pretend like this is all okay and leave and forget all about this. If there's somewhere where you're struggling, no, let's deal with it. Let's make a plan. Let's start getting these things straightened out. Because God wants you to have these things. He wants you to have all these things. And He's got to do them. But you have to let Him. And we need to see where we're not letting Him, you see? But I hope that this message is actually more of an encouragement than that. I hope it was like it was for the Thessalonians. I hope that throughout this message tonight, you've looked back at a difficult time in your life, or maybe you're right now going through a difficult time in your life, and you've noticed how that God came through, how that God gave stability in your soul when everything was chaotic, everything was out of control. I hope that you've been able to look and see how even when things were difficult, that God gave you the strength to and the grace to just keep following Him, to keep doing what He asked, even though it makes really no sense to you or anyone around you. But God gave you the strength to keep following Him. I hope that's what you've got out of this tonight, that you had even a greater understanding through the hard times of life, and you look back and see, yeah, right here, that trial was hard, but through it, I was able to find the love of God more real to me than ever before. I hope that's the case. But how in the hardest time, that the reality of God, of eternity with God, was never more real to you. If it's not that way, it can be that way. And even through the hardest times of life, God, I'm confident, can do these things. And if you're truly living a life of faith, and if God's Word is more important to you than anything else, in trials like this, that for everyone else will be a source of anger and anxiety and fear and really hard things. But for you, in the end, can actually become a source of incredible encouragement. And I hope that it's that way for you tonight. God wants that for you. God loves you. God wants to help you. And He could, I say He couldn't. He can't help you. It's not true. God can do whatever He wants. But God has chosen to not make you a robot. God has chosen that He will not force Himself upon you. But God wants to help you. He wants to do these things for you. In the good times and the bad times. But you are going to have to trust Him. You are going to have to value what He says over anything else. And you'll find this, that God is faithful to those who are full of faith. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for loving us the way You do. We don't deserve it. God, You know how weak we are. You know how frail we are. And when life gets hard, how easy it is for us to fail and fall. But I'm thankful that Your strength is enough to get us through these things, to get us through these things, not even just to survive them, but to help us to flourish through them, and even by the end of it, be thankful for them. And it's because of Your faithfulness. Help us, God, to trust You. Help us, God, to value Your Word above all else. We love You. Christ in my prayer. Amen. Brother Josh, can play a time to the time.